That should be all we need to do. Okay, let me do a corny, it doesn't have to be a corny intro. Welcome to New American Wasteland. This is a very informal Q&A episode that we're kind of doing as filler until some more lore stuff or more mainline content comes out. I am here with Reverend Raz, the writer of the Ohio Helper series, as well as a mod on the Discord. Raz, how are you?
I am still kicking.
Still kicking. Good. That's the best we can ask for. I mean, as long as you're not kicking me.
I'll try not to, but I'd need a teleporter for that anyway.
I made this teleporter just to go kick this guy. You know, with you being a mod, it could be I'm still kicking, as in, like, you're kicking people off the server. But
yeah, but I try to be the nice mod until it's necessary.
Inside you, there are two mods. One's a nice mod. The other has a kitten. Well, so what we're doing today, this was suggested by Nail, one of our wonderful friends on the server, asking for predictions for the next decade, which is interesting.
You know, it makes me laugh that he asked you for predictions and I'm the one that reads cards.
You know, I think it's just because when I originally came out with that first version of the timeline, we weren't far off. I think the joke was always that we were like 40% correct or something.
Yeah.
So housekeeping on these predictions that me and Raz workshopped for a few hours the other night. These are not endorsements of any kind of actions. Okay. None of this is us saying you should do this or this should happen. Okay. It's all speculative and for fun and mainly just, you know, it's in line with us doing content about a dystopian American future.
That and the ongoing horror of, oh no, my brain did a thing. Please don't make it real. Please don't make it real.
Yeah, the anxiety. A lot of it is anxiety. It's wonderful.
Lots.
We also have no experts here, okay? I'm just a dude. Raz is just an entity, okay? None of us know what we're talking about. So I guess the next question is, do we start with... I guess trigger warning for some things. Do we start from the top, or should we go least or most mundane to least mundane?
Honestly, it probably makes sense to go in the order that we wrote them down, because trying to figure out which would be the most unlikely is going to be a task. All of this is based on fear and pattern recognition.
Yeah, it is. A lot of it is. And a lot of these might be pretty obvious if someone's listening. It was like, yeah, of course it's going to be like this. Like, yeah, it is. But we can also make predictions. So the first section we have here is general population, as in things that will just affect people in general. They're not necessarily specific to politics. My number one is AI becomes integrated at most levels of life, which, again, yeah, that's pretty obvious, but we both thought it was pretty important with the first bullet point being AI. Oh, geez. Okay, there we go. AI art becomes dominant due to cheap production and no need to hassle with artists. Raz, you're an artist. How do you feel about that?
I am mightily displeased. Like, this whole desperation to not pay people for what they're making has already led to some horrible, horrible things. And now we're just going to suck the soul out of art.
Yes, we are. Well, you know, those damn artists, right? They're so needy and, like, they want to go to school and they have to hone their
How
craft.
How dare we want to eat?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, you can do your art, but, like, I need you to go to work, okay? I need you to still be making some kind of profit for me. But also, I need you to keep the social media machine going, considering that artists are what keep social media going on the internet, because artist is a very broad term. But what if I didn't need to have an artist? What if I could just, like, make some shitty AI video with a shitty AI voiceover, and, like, it takes me maybe an evening to make a video that might, like, take an artist about 12 hours or, like, 24 to 48 to create? And that's really where that comes from, where with the level of art going down because more of it's going to be AI, people will care less about art, or their levels for art will, their standards for art will go down, right? Meaning that they're going to accept shittier things as good, which means that, like, to compete, artists are, you know, they either have to bring down their quality of work, or they have to ask for less money, or they have to be okay with never making money. And our culture becomes, like, really shitty and stale, and that's not necessarily the most devastating thing, but it's not good, so.
Right. We don't need art. We don't need thought. We just need 5 minutes of something moving on the screen and some kind of noise before the next buy our product.
Yeah, I really need to hear Walter White recite my favorite lines from any movie. And, like, I need to have a little ha-ha before I go back to work. Going on from, like, more consequential things with AI, I had AI set rates on necessities such as food and gas, resulting in totally unpredictable pricing. Cyber attacks often leaves areas stuck in price surges, with very little protection in place to prevent raising prices, but several approvals needed to lower prices.
Yeah. Once again, based on life, because Wendy's tried this. And yeah. Kroger is in the process of getting busted for trying this, but who knows where that's going to go from now.
Mm-hmm. It's a very real thing that is already happening, but if it becomes pretty widespread where price surges are dictated by artificial intelligence or algorithmic intelligence or whatever you want to call it, I'm sure they would have barriers in place to make sure that, like, oh, we can ratchet it up. But, like, if we need to lower it down, that's going to require a human input and probably not from someone on site in the area.
Mm-hmm. So just because you have the keys to the building doesn't mean you have the keys to the algorithm.
Exactly, right. And on top of already having food deserts, which are things that affect millions of Americans every day where they just are not in areas that have access to good, healthy food, you may also have, like, price deserts, right, where if you are in a backwater town or a low-income area in, like, an urban region or, like, in a city, you might be stuck where maybe the gas level or the gas price comes up or the food price comes up, and then, like, no one bothers to look into it and put it down, right? And then suddenly it's like, well, yeah, gas just never came down from $5 or $6 a gallon. And it wasn't because of the price of an oil barrel, like, or the price of a gallon actually being a certain cost. It was because some dude over at, like, I don't know, Tex Oil or something never just, like, said, oh no, you can lower those now, right?
Right. Who needs malice when neglect will do?
Exactly. And with the cyber warfare angle, what a good way to, like, really disable a region where, especially with now, and I'm not trying to be one of those people who's like, credit cards are the devil, you gotta go back to cash, but if we're in an era where everything's based off of, like, cards and tap pay and smart pay, there may not be ways for people to, like, just pay for things and get by if, say, your gas station in your one podunk town, or maybe all the gas stations in your section of a city are, like, oops, they're set at, like, $99.99, like, a gallon, and it won't come down, and every time we fix it, they get stuck up there anyway.
Right.
Very, very horrible.
And we're sorry. It's going to charge your credit card that much, even if you think the price is actually blah-de-blah based on what the clerk said.
Oh, yeah. Like, the clerk can't even open the till, right? The clerk is just there to kind of, like, make sure people are comfortable with a human in the gas station. But, like, otherwise, everything else is being run through an algorithm that, like, sets the prices, tells the clerk what to stock, tells the clerk when to clean the bathroom, and then, like, in general, works as a manager that can also ruin lives in a much, much more severe way. Mm-hmm. In line
because
with that.
Because it's math. It's not personal.
Yeah, it's just math, right? In line with that, AI predictions on markets and commodities result in several false runs on daily items such as toiletries and supplies. So similar to the AI setting rates on necessities in a storefront sense, this would be more like AI essentially telling stockbrokers, tech bros, tech firms, etc., well, we predict using this algorithm that, like, the next big thing that we need to crash or like open up is going to be, I don't know, fucking toilet paper, right? So not in the same way that there was a run on toilet paper during COVID, but in a way that like the value of toilet paper gets grossly overinflated, right? And even though there is no issue with it, with like toilet paper supply, because people are saying there is going to be a run on it, it suddenly becomes a balloon industry. So,
right. Or it runs the way of foreign exchange blogs and game stonks, where somebody in a forum says, hey, we should all buy peanut butter. It's really cheap right now. And it's just suddenly not on shelves. And it costs three times more than you think it should, because somebody thought it would be fun.
Yeah, someone thought it'd be fun. And also, the kind of scary part, or like all of it's scary, right? But the really worrisome part is just if like eventually companies are going to realize that like, well, no one's buying luxury items anymore, but like there's still this stuff that they need, right? Kids still need books for school, they still need pencils, you still need something to fucking wipe your butt with. We can do stuff to that, and if we say there's going to be a run on it, we could at least make it so that people have to buy more than they actually need, because they'll sit there and be like, well, I don't want to run out of this before the school year starts, or I don't want to be caught having to wipe my butt with like hand towels or something. And that actually creates a real run.
And this is non-perishable, so it won't hurt you if you get too much of it right now. You can just hold on to it.
Yeah. I have so many Dixon Ticonderoga pencils. I have so many number two pencils. I have a room for them. But eventually, you know, they're gold. It's like gold now, right? AI predicting runs on certain markets and commodities, and then that becoming an actual run on those markets and creating actual shortages. We got two more AI bullet points here. In line with school supplies, AI becomes frequently used in education, resulting in further separation of reality. Both students and teachers rely on AI to automate several processes. Educational quality dips as a whole in comparison to similar Western countries. This one freaks me out.
Me too. Well, because they already tried to pull that thing during COVID where teachers were recording their lectures. So instead of hiring teachers back the next year, they would just replay those lectures for free because technically they were school property.
Yeah. I got out of nursing school. I finished it this last July, and like one of the crazy things during med surge, which is kind of the most important part of nursing school, right? I had an instructor telling me to use ChatGPT to help me answer questions, right? And not like telling just me specifically in private, but like telling the whole class, like, oh, you have to use every tool in your toolbox, you need to use this. And I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of bad reasons why you shouldn't use ChatGPT to help you do like nursing diagnoses or like figuring out disease processes. That just seems like a very bad idea.
Yeah, the whole AI hallucinations thing plus medical terminology and info just doesn't mix well. Mm-hmm. It's already mixed poorly with the mushrooms.
Yeah. It doesn't do good. And just in general with education being garbage, right? If people decide like, well, these teachers want too much pay, they want too many rights, there's too many things they're asking for, how do we get that factor out of teaching? And like, maybe we can like use our taxes towards something else if we just don't have to pay these fucking teachers and give them their benefits. And like, oh, what if we had an algorithm either like make a curriculum or like teach the students, or like, not that you're going to have like the HAL 2000 or whatever sitting in your classroom, but if you are having to interface with a algorithmic program that is like giving you questions or giving you answers to questions and working with you, it's going to degrade your actual ability to be a student and learn things. So, and in general, it'll come from a cost-cutting thing, right? Because I'm pretty sure there are towns right now who are like, well, I want my property taxes to go to other stuff. I really want to have like a pickleball court or something in the community center, and I don't want to have to pay for these teachers, kind of thing. So
yeah, and there's a lot of teachers that are working multiple jobs or leaving it behind because they're already not surviving.
The infamous run of OnlyFans teachers. is still there. It'll destroy literacy in education. And that'll go into our next bullet point. However, there is one more we have for AI, which is spoofing or deepfakes resulting in chaos with the media as well as the criminal justice system. So I know that I think it was OpenAI released it. Maybe it was called Sora or something similar, where it creates extremely lifelike looking videos. Like, if you look at them long enough, you'll know that they're AI. But I think, as we've seen with our geriatric population, and even just people who are not necessarily looking at things to see if they're made by an AI, you can get bamboozled. You can get a little turned around if you're looking at one of these videos and you're not super sure if it's like real or not, right? So if they're deep faking people's faces to try and get out of a prosecution, or if a prosecution like finds a video online that someone makes that seems to show someone doing something, it's really going to create shitty things in the court of public opinion, and it's going to create shitty things in actual court.
Yeah. And like, it's not that far off. I've already seen a whole lot of like full body AI, not a real person advertisements in stupid mobile games.
Yep. I've seen them on TV working at my job. So, and in general, like if anyone's like, well, this couldn't happen, like it's not that good. Like, I don't know. You can go deep fake porn of any celebrity you want to, right? It's something people are already working on and trying, and like are putting AI video through its paces to try and do this kind of thing. So it's not good. It's very bad. No one likes it.
except the people trying to make it happen.
You're right. Except for those weirdos. That takes us into public school systems, which are... Don't you... education's going to be fine. It's just that the public school system is going to come under massive attack with frequent leaning out to save money. So getting rid of teachers, or like firing teachers and hiring cheaper teachers, or trying to get teaching professionals that will accept less pay, right? Public schools quickly become pseudo daycare, less education occurring each year. Standardized tests such as the SAT and ACT are still used as the general metric to predict student success as they leave high school. But the actual amount of education is way, way less than it should be, right? Where you're going to have kids basically, and parents, who are treating K through 12 school as like, well, this is just where I put my kid so I can go to work, right? And I don't necessarily care how they do in school, or I don't trust that the school is telling me that they're struggling, right? And like, you're going to have more kids get left behind. So like, for example, our first bullet point is college vacancies increase. FAFSA cuts destroying many would-be students' opportunities to enter college for trades, certificates, or degrees. Generally, only the middle class and up become able to attend even community colleges, which is something I see every day now. So it's very bad.
It's super not ideal.
Yeah. And mainly this kind of creates a brain drain, but the brain drain isn't going anywhere. It's just that like between public schools getting destroyed, as far as like no actual education happening, or like teachers being so overwhelmed that there is no way for them to make education happen. Like, I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, and like in both these kids' classes, like the kids are so terribly behaved that the teacher spends most of their time trying to get the kid to behave and not actually delivering education, to the point where like me and Hannah, my wife, we have to count on reteaching our kids when they come home because they're just not getting good education in their schools. And like, we send our kids to a pretty good school. But like, just the wombo combo of like social media, access to electronics, like very, very disengaged parents is creating these kids that take way, way, way more attention and way, way, way more assistance to correct behaviorally.
Well, and with everybody working so hard to survive all the freaking time, it's not like there's much time or energy left for a community of people to help train younglings to be humans.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, without the village, without the community, it's very hard to do it, right? If it's just, like, you and you and spouse, or, like, maybe just yourself and, like, your parents or something trying to raise kids, you're going to have it cut out for you. And the thing is that, like, generally, kids are not smart or dumb. It's just that, like, it depends on, like, what they're getting at home, what are their opportunities, how are they being engaged with. And when it comes to college vacancies, right, if you have a kid who just has not gotten good chances and good opportunities to learn or any kind of assistance, they're going to not be prepared for that SAT, ACT, or even when they enter, like, generally when you go to college, you have to do, like, a compass test or a placement test to see where you are. And, like, if they're not able to do well on these tests, which are standardized across the country, they're just not going to succeed well. And if you have a kid who feels like, yeah, well, you know, I'm 18, 19 now, I would like to go to college, but, like, I have struggled all through school, I did really bad on my SAT, I did really bad on the compass or placement test, and I don't have access to FAFSA, and my family doesn't have money to put me through college, that kid's probably not going to go to college, where they may end up, you know, doing a little bit better than they thought they would have, but they don't even have the chance. And that's going to impact us as far as, like, that means fewer tradesmen, that means fewer healthcare professionals. Generally, most critical jobs require some college, and if people aren't going there, it's going to be a bad time. Yeah.
Well, just about every job that isn't service sector alone at this point requires some kind of paperwork saying, hey, you're smart enough to do the thing.
Yep. Some kind of
licensing. And if you can't pay for that paperwork, you're toast.
You are. And kind of the people who would take advantage of that would be your companies, your corporations, where, again, I've seen this working in healthcare, where to fill those gaps, companies begin contracting workers and paying for their certifications, usually using a pretty unfair contract to do it. So, for example, the facility I work for, they will hire someone basically off the street, no healthcare experience, so long as they don't have, like, a felony or something. And they will work them as a nurse's assistant, with the contract being, if you work for us for a year, we will pay for your school to go be a certified nursing assistant. But, like, if you look at the profits they make in that year versus how much it costs to put someone through CNA school, that's a very bad contract. And I could see that happening with more things than just, like, entry-level certifications, right? Kind of like, oh, well,
the next flavor of unpaid internship.
Yeah, right? Like, you can come in and you can work for me as an apprentice and, like, maybe become a plumber, but, like, you're going to have to contract with me at this terrible wage. That would be way less than you'd make as a tradesman in general. But, like, what else are you going to do? Right.
Yeah.
We also have literacy rates plummeting across, every age group. That is something we're seeing now. There's been several studies showing that our literacy is in the tank. Across every age group, like from K through 12 all the way up to, like, the 20 somethings, the 30 somethings, the 40 somethings, and going, like, we are forgetting how to read or how to write. And it's happening right now. And I'm assuming it's just going to be much worse in the future. So,
yeah, but that's another one that sort of harkens back to that parents not having time to do anything but work and sleep.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of literacy is built in early childhood with parents reading to kids and establishing, like, these are what words mean. This is how language goes. Like, this is how you structure a thought into a sentence to convey it into someone else's head.
Yep.
Without that time and that repetition and that practice, it doesn't get as embedded. And parents just largely don't have the time and the energy.
Yeah. There's also a large wave of parents who, like in my area specifically, there's a lot of people who end up having kids because they are conditioned that, like, that's what you're supposed to do, right?
That is the next milestone.
Yeah. Like, that's what you do. And, like, it doesn't matter if you don't think you're ready or if you don't know or if, like, the money isn't there. That is what you have to do. And then in some cases, I'm not going to name the religion, right? But some of the religions out here literally say, like, oh, you're not as good as a blank religious person if you don't have, like, a shit ton of kids.
Right. You're not a whole person if you're not a parent.
Basically, yeah. The final thing we have for this bracket is military recruitment experiences an uptick due to being one of the only reliable ways to secure an education opportunity. And I don't know if, like, people are going to flock to recruiting stations. I know right now the military is in a recruiting crisis still. But I think eventually people are going to look at it and go, like, this is one of my only ways out. I was one of those people all the way back in 2016. But this might be the only way to have access to the GI Bill afterwards, if it's still there. Have access to tuition assistance while you're active duty. Or even just like, well, here's a job, here's healthcare, here's food, and I can stay with this and do this, and I guess it's better than working over at, like, the fucking cheese factory in my hometown, where I'm gonna endure all this same, what would you call it, struggle, but in a more demeaning way, versus just like, yeah, I guess I'll go be a Marine or a soldier or a sailor or an airman kind of thing.
Right, and honestly, this is the hopeful perspective for this one.
Yeah.
Because if the cuts happen that have been rumored to be coming, it's not going to be the hand up.
Nope. Yeah, no, if there is, and I am personally hoping that, like, there's, like, a massive, what would you call it, rubber band effect or lash out effect where, like, oh yeah, if you come after a veteran and DOD benefits, like, you will lose support very quick. So we'll see. In line with that, transitioning, our third bracket here is the U.S. job market takes massive damage. Deregulation and fewer union rights give corporations more opportunity to use predatory practices.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool? I think that's pretty cool.
Peachy keen.
Yeah. And we kind of touched on this with the educational part, but one of our bullets here is an increase in workers with a decrease in education fill the unskilled labored market. So any job that you can go to work in with just a diploma or a GED is going to be, what do you call it, a golden goose, essentially, right? Where even that shitty cheese factory job, because it pays decent money, is going to be like a holy grail item that people are trying to get to, because otherwise your options are a lot of the other entry level jobs, which are almost always service related, have no, like, upward track, no way to actually do better. And at the start,
that or gig work, and
yeah,
that's less helpful even.
Oh yeah. And, like, with just the competition to apply and get in, it will create, like, this vacuum and, like, this labor surplus where companies are going to be able to say, like, oh, well, like, we can just we can fire whoever we want at will, and we can rehire very quickly, because there's, like, at any given time, Mr. Cheese Factory worker, there's, like, 20 dudes who want to fill your spot, right?
You can be replaced.
Mm-hmm. Then we have a gradual but unstopped rate of inflation creates desperation amongst the working poor. So kind of tying into that, if because it's not going to be like suddenly it's Weimar Republic Germany, right? It's not going to suddenly be wheelbarrows full of, like, bitcoins or whatever. It's going to be this, like, just slow uptick of everything keeps getting a little more expensive and a little more expensive. And, like, maybe it plateaus for a little bit and people are like, oh, man, I'm getting ahead for a little bit, and then it keeps going up again and again. Like, it's a very slow ratchet. Like, today, right, I barely ever get McDonald's. I just had a surgical procedure, and the first thing I wanted was McDonald's. And, like, I get out, and I'm like, I want McChickens. And I'm like, why is a McChicken $3? Because I don't ever go to McDonald's. Like, and the prices are whack.
It's a lot. I used to go to Taco Bell just strictly for the cheap stuff, and now, looking at the prices, they've, like, doubled and tripled, and it's freaking Taco Bell. What? How? Why?
What did you do to my money. Stoner food? Oh, God. Okay, here we go. This is a fun one. We're getting up there. This is a little bit current event-y. Goddamn. Okay. You ready, Raz? You ready for this?
Oh, no.
Individual workers attempt sabotage or assassinations to some success, resulting in increased presence of private military contractors and strikebreakers. Some unions attempt to resist but can't match the capabilities corporations are able to bring to bear. So, obviously, we just had the United Healthcare CEO get assassinated allegedly by Luigi Mangione or Mangione. And I think that's going to start a trend where people will try to copycat it. And we are
just past the century anniversary of Blair Mountain. So it's just right in time for that return of the fucking Pinkertons and the red neckerchiefs.
Yeah, every 100 years we got to give it a try. Because, you know, the Battle of Blair Mountain worked out so good. But whatever you feel about this event that happened, right? There's, especially considering just the memes and the culture surrounding it, obviously, it started a lot of good discourse about how much people hate the American healthcare system. There's also been some reports of, like, healthcare firms getting death threats now, or, like, alleged death threats. And it's going to be a very fun process where, saying this as gingerly as possible, where if we culturally say, well, that was a good thing, more people should do that, right? More people are going to attempt to do it. And ultimately, the more you attempt to assassinate CEOs, executives, etc., the more they're going to say, well, I have all this money, right? I have all this pull in the government. I'm going to hire a small personal army, right? I'm going to create a fortress community or do something where they will limit people's ability to access them. And
they will find employees because things are not super great on the outside.
Oh, yeah. Right. Like they could very easily do a thing where they lobby and grease some palms. And suddenly it's like, yeah, no, we're allowed to have PMCs or mercenaries as bodyguards, and their capabilities and their rules of engagement are very liberal to protect us, right? And the reason why I say, like, some unions attempt to resist but can't match capabilities is that short of unions, a union forming in its own professional military or, like, a corps of saboteurs, I personally don't think that, like, our union culture and our, like, activist culture as it stands now is going to be able to match, you know, some guy or maybe a group of guys who are like, yep, I was a veteran of the global war on terror, and like I have a lot of experience being shot at, shooting at people, and like I couldn't get a good job afterwards, but like now I don't know, I'm gonna join the Amazon security service, and now I just do rotations either guarding Amazon warehouses or critical infrastructure or guarding like Amazon executives. And I don't think there's any optics where it looks good when a squad of activists decide, well, we're going to try and do a hit on this executive, right? This is maybe something that needs more time in a separate kind of like Q&A, but it's not going to be good. Especially if the people that follow Luigi Mangione are not as precise and well-planned, so.
Yeah, because copycatting for the clout doesn't fill in for the planning and knowing things.
Yep. I could go into more of that, but I don't want to spend all that time on just this one bullet point. The fourth section we have is trade wars and lack of domestic manufacturing create deficits in quality of life. So in the news recently, as of December 17th, 12:50 in the morning, or balls 50, depending on who you are, it is very, we already have reports that China, for example, is going to be not like putting a ban on exports of, I think they call it rare earth or precious earth minerals. Generally a lot of things that are used to make electronics. Our bullet point here, access to consumer electronics diminishes with countries like China or India cutting off export of rare earth minerals to the US. And just about everything either needs these like precious metals or at some point in the process is made with something using those precious metals. For example, medical services that are highly reliant on high-tech management, medications, and record-keeping downgrade as costs keep up, and replacement rockets or replacement of these tools, services, computers, etc., becomes more expensive. And again, it's the difference between going into Walmart and getting a microwave for $40 or that microwave being $400, right? Yeah. That microwave is not made here. That microwave is made somewhere else.
Yeah, that and with the whole right to repair fight going slowly, it's not exactly fixable stuff.
Yeah. Obviously, I guess you could learn how to solder, but like you still need to be able to get the components to solder, right? Yeah. I have a few friends who do a lot of good repairs on like motherboards and such. But with so many things we have now using some variant of a computer or like a motherboard, it's going to get expensive real fast. And we just, if we do all the tariff things that a certain president-elect has been saying he's going to do, it's not that those things are going to stop coming in. It's just that like the cost of the tariffs are going to get put onto, the consumer, which is going to be super cool and good.
Because it went so well last time when the price of steel tripled.
Yeah, right. Or like when we had that run on lumber, I think lumber is still really expensive because there's just such high demand. And like that is stuff that I think we still are harvesting in the U.S. So even with domestic products, the inflation is going insane over the years.
Because they can.
Yeah. Over the years, there's a tipping point that is referenced and projected where the U.S. will become a manufacturing powerhouse again. So think like your Fox News talking heads, your economic experts getting on TV or like getting on social media and saying that like it's going to be really, really bad now. But like in a few years, like we're going to go back to what we used to be. And this logic is going to be used to justify the continued suffering. I don't think that tipping point ever comes. So,
yeah, it's just going to be another one of those churchy promises where any 5 minutes now, the world is going to change and everything will be better.
Right. Just hold on a little bit longer. I promise it'll get better.
Any minute now.
Oh, man. Are you ready for the really cool one, Raz? You ready for the one that, like, got a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be? So we have women's independence and male loneliness.
Yeah, there's a lot to that one.
There is. I don't know how to approach this other than just going down the bullet points like we have been. So first bullet is increased attacks from both general population males and additional agitating from return to tradition type influencers. So think like trad life people, your incel influencers, your
MGTOW, MRA.
Exactly. Yeah, your men going their own way, men right activists. These influencers are like will continue the drive of women to abstain from men with movements like 4B, which is in general the, I think it's like no dating, no babies, no sex, no marriage, if I remember correctly. I know it's a Korean thing.
I think that's it.
I don't think it translates to 4B in the United States, but this becomes a large culture war conflict with women being blamed for killing America. Raz, I don't want to be a man that just like talks over this topic. What do you think?
I think that this is something that the pattern recognition is patterning. Like the louder like alpha bros get on their podcasts, the more women quietly disappear into the shadows.
Yeah.
Like it's just safer not to be noticed. It's safer to just stand back and watch things happen.
Yeah. I would agree.
Like, appealing as it is to have appealing romantic company, it can be really hard to find when the loudest mindset is also the one aimed directly at your throat.
Yeah, and in my experience as a man, okay, is that there is this very big cultural thing where man, how do I phrase this? A lot of dudes will project and like be what they think women will want, and until they're like, well, I'm comfortable. We are now financially dependent on each other. Maybe we cohabitate. Maybe like she's in too deep to like just bail out. Maybe we have kids. Maybe we're married. And it's like, now I'm going to be this person who I actually am. Right now I'm going to be this.
Right.
This dude who,
now that my partner is tied down and stuck and trapped, now I can let loose with all the shitty bits.
Yep. Speaking of being stuck and trapped, okay, to attempt to curb women from abstaining from dating, sex, marriage, pregnancy, continued assaults on their rights are proposed and in some cases enacted, creating a feedback loop. Bodily autonomy as well as financial security of women comes under attack. Banks and credit card companies oppose legislation using the facade of civil rights to protect from financial losses. In general, culturally, like on the culture war front, you will have a lot of like, let's say center right to obviously far right people trying to put women or just like vulva havers back in the box, right? They're going to try and like, if they're like, well, we can't actually just like take away your ability to vote again, but like what we can do is make it very difficult for you to exist without a man, which is kind of how things already are in parts of the country. Like in my state, it's very difficult for women to exist on their own without being married, whether it is social pressure or like literal economic pressure, because like these women are not often getting into the jobs that could support them and their like families if they're a single parent kind of thing. I'm out of breath.
Well, like, and it was only in like, what was it, the 1970s, 1980s that women were allowed to open a bank account in their own name or have a credit card in their name.
Mm-hmm.
This is recent development stuff.
Yeah.
But I can see the banks backing up, letting women keep those, just because the more accounts you have, the more maintenance fees you can charge.
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to, I think her name was Phyllis Schlafly, the woman who, like...
Oh, Phyllis Schlafly.
Schlafly, thank you. The woman who campaigned to kill the Equal Rights Amendment, which would have actually codified men and women literally being equal, and in fact getting some equity for women. I think that comes up again. It's already here now, right? Like I'm a nurse. I work with a lot of women who are just like, ironically, women who are working and earning and are like very independent, but who are also like, well, women should just go back to the kitchen kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it as a bullet point here, but I do think, I do think something that should be mentioned is that like from the left side as well, there is the, what do you call it? Chauvinistic angle. Oh my God. Chauvinist angle or misogynist angle. Where both left-wing men and right-wing men are like, well, we're going to say these things and maybe we have different official stances, but like ultimately we both want women to go back in the box and let the men play politics kind of thing.
Yeah, because it's one of those structural inequalities that has been really beneficial for a subset of the populace.
Super cool and good. Everybody loves it. No one has any problems with it.
Peachy fucking key.
It's wonderful. Transitioning from specifically women, LGBTQ rights become further limited. Some states protect their LGBTQ citizens, while others remove protections as much as possible. Again, something we already see now where, like, if you're trans, your experience as a trans person in, like, Idaho is going to be vastly different than it is in Washington State, right? Where we are not that far from each other. In some cases, it's like you can be just over the border by a few miles, but like your access to healthcare, your right to exist is incredibly different. It's just way, way different across the board. And like this goes along with something that was in one of my early predictions all the way back in 2021, where I was thinking that the thing they would come after would be gay marriage. They, in fact, did not come after gay marriage. They came after Roe versus Wade. And they succeeded, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's all on the checklist.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if I put this here, so I guess I'll just have to fucking add it in. But I was think there's going to be mass migrations, generally where, and me and my wife, we're both queer, right? We're both bi as hell, but like we sit here and go like, well, we live in Idaho and like it's financially viable for us to live here versus if we were to live in Washington State, we would not be able to get by, right? The quality of life for us and our kids would be extremely diminished. And it's a question we ask ourselves every day because, you know, there's two little girls that live in our house and eventually they're going to be two little women. And we are in a state that does not have abortion protections. And like, we don't want to raise them in that. But also we know that like we could also bankrupt ourselves trying to go to a better protected state like Washington. And so what you might see is like some families may try to migrate where their kids or maybe the parents are better protected. But in general, it's this thing that's always happened. I'm sure over on your side of the country, there is a similar situation where your little queers, your baby queers are like, well, I need to get out of here. I got to go to Portland. I got to go to Seattle. I got to get out of my little red state town and I need to go over to some place that is going to protect me better. And back in the day that used to be, cause it was like, well, the cool kids are going to Portland. Now it's like, well, I need to survive. So I have to leave.
Right. Around here, it's not so much that they're trying to get out of the state because we are a fairly low cost of living state. It's just that they're trying to get to the cities. Like the population centers are safer. There's more people there that they can band together with because that's the best we can hope for sometimes.
Yep. And like, I think as everyone knows who's listening to this, it is, very expensive to move to cities. Very, very expensive. Super cool and good. Everyone loves it. Along with that, man, this is dark as shit. Trans people especially are targeted.
Whole thing has been.
Huh?
I said the whole thing has been.
Yeah, it has. It's just getting worse. trans people especially are targeted with upfront violence being brought to bear on male to female trans folks. This is like really anecdotal, and I'm not trying to like get rid of any actual things that happen to trans men or non-binary femmes, etc. But in general, what I have seen is that like the most violent rhetoric comes out at trans women, right? And then with,
well, like the most violence comes out against them with trans masks. It tends to be infantilization and refusal to give up a potential breeder.
Yeah, that was the thing I had in here. Targeted suppression and harassment being focused on female to male transitions. In general, a mentality of, quote, saving, unquote, potential mothers and wives from being lost to the LGBTQ becomes a focus point of the incel right. So, there is very much a strange dialogue that I have seen personally and, like, have had to kind of navigate through because of where the fuck I live, where people are like, yeah, you know, those trans women, right, they're all perverts and just like confused males and they should just be gay or whatever. But when it comes to trans men, it is like, well, that look at how pretty that girl was. And like now they're not a girl or now they're ruining themselves kind of thing.
Right. She was so hot. How dare she?
Yeah, literally that. I didn't know how to phrase it where it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just parroting the shitty things I hear.
Yeah, but if we parrot it in my voice, it's a little bit less.
I think so. I have the voice where things come off bad. Then the above does not diminish male loneliness epidemics, but further worsens it. Incel-based terror attacks such as bombings or mass shootings become more frequent over time. A little weird to say that because, like, obviously they never stopped, right? The mass shootings and stuff never really never came down, but I'm just thinking it happens more. Maybe they're more targeted. I predict a lot more violence being visited on women by men, and that's not good.
Yeah, that's scrabbling for that last little bit of attention and control.
Yep. Now that we're out of that dark, dark, gross hole, we have right-wing and left-wing specifics here. So which one do you want to start with, Raz? You want to start with left-wing or right-wing?
As a lefty, I feel like it behooves me to take after the lefties first.
All right, let's talk about the left wing stuff. So, number one, mass calls to action become more popular on social media. Not that they already are not popular, but with many influencers utilizing a revolutionary message and imagery to encourage followers to take to the streets, derisive commentary about similarities to Occupy Wall Street undermined some messaging. So, we've seen a lot of this already where, in general, the left is really, really good about getting trends going on social media and getting a lot of people to agree that certain things need to happen. But then whenever it comes down to actually doing it, there's very little follow through on it. And Raz, I think you brought up Occupy Wall Street for this one, right?
I did, because that was part of my youth. Like, all of these people gathered in this spot, protesting the 1%, protesting the horrible things that corporations are doing very loudly, very visibly, and very little came from it.
Yep. It's like they let, I think, if I remember right, they let them play in the park for a while, and then I think eventually people just started leaving, right? I don't know if there was, like, a big police clear out.
There wasn't a crackdown, like, as far as I know. Yeah. Like, there was some, like, spotty crackdowns, but it wasn't a big massive clearing out.
Yeah, everyone just kind of went home when they got bored. Jeez.
Like, okay, we've said our piece.
Yeah. And ironically, a lot of the people who were in Occupy, I think, ended up going on to be right-wing influencers, if I remember right. I know there's a couple of people who were there initially, and obviously Occupy was not totally only leftist. I think there was a lot of libertarian in there as well. But
it was a popular idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the underclass is getting very displeased about how the upper class is treating us.
Mm-hmm.
That's an appealing thing across the board, as long as you're experiencing hardship.
It is. In general, most of my stuff comes from just seeing just a very lack of follow through when it comes to a lot of left wing actions. And that kind of goes down into our second bullet point here for this bracket. Actual turnout for movements can vary depending on context at the time. A massive show of force like the George Floyd uprising is unlikely unless a similar tragedy or appeal of rights occurs. Police forces may choose to simply wait out a particularly unruly protest unless otherwise ordered. And this is a very pessimistic idea, obviously, but I think anyone who was on the internet in 2020 saw the months-long protest of, like, hundreds to, like, 1,000 or 2,000, like, bodies in the street, oftentimes in Black Block in Portland specifically, but it was happening in other cities as well, where people got mad, they came out. Usually things started out peaceful, then, like, a cop would shoot some tear gas or, like, do something, and then it would go to what I call non-ballistic violence, where, like, guns weren't being fired or anything, but there was, like, street battles where, you know, you have riot cops and federal agents, you know, brandishing riot shields, sonic weapons, rubber bullets, tear gas, and then the protesters doing everything they could to fight back. You know, there's some really famous images of, like, all of the feds in the courthouse in Portland, all right, kind of defending it like it was like an old school medieval castle. And the crazy part about that was that, like, nothing really came of it, right? Like, eventually, similar to Occupy, everyone went home. And I think initially there was some, like, follow through and, like, yeah, we'll defund the police. Yeah, we'll do this. And then, like, you know, 1 or 2 years later, police have more funding than they ever have. Oh,
and that, well, because the pressure wasn't there in the street staring them down anymore. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, like, all those folks who turned out to be in the streets didn't necessarily turn out to town halls, city meetings. They didn't turn out to the places where they could have made that, where they could have solidified the ground they got, right? There was a lot of sympathy initially. Some of it burned out when people saw that it wasn't just people chanting going in the streets. When it became, like, street combat, a lot of folks in the center left, well, not center left, a lot of like moderates, like the Democrats and the liberals, all the way up to the right, if they may have been sympathetic at the start of those uprisings, they definitely were not by the end when it was like, you know, street combat, street battles.
When it was a nuisance.
Yeah.
Like, that's an unfortunate thing. Like, the work that is necessary is not the work that is glorious or fun.
Exactly.
So it's just hard to get people to do the things like mutual aid or homeless outreach or like talking to your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. It's also,
because that's the stuff that actually gets stuff done. That's the stuff that lasts.
Yeah. And then I think it's also a funding issue, right? I think in the actions that have followed that, where, I think there was the pipeline that was going through an Indigenous people's land that some people protested, but ultimately that shit got built anyway. There were the forest defenders where everything kind of fizzled out after an activist was shot in the forest of Atlanta during Stop Cop City. And I think the big one was that after Roe v. Wade got flipped over, right? After it got... After women's bodily autonomy got taken away, there was not the same level of people in the streets, right?
There was mumbling and muttering and talk, but not so much footsteps.
Yep. Which you would be surprised, right? Like, because it seems like everyone came out for this one thing, and then when there is a clear attack on people's rights and their ability to govern their own bodies, one that is so distinctly anti-women, right? There just was not that show. People did not come out. There was not black bloc in the streets. There were not people protesting at the courthouse, or at least not in a way that was impactful. Which, for me, kind of shows that I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, unless it's like, it goes back to the misogyny on the left-hand side, right? Where it was almost like the masculine people in the left were just like, well, we told you so. We don't care. Bye. Like,
well, that and the sense of nihilism.
Yes.
That's the one that wrecks me, is that, well, we told you this was coming. We told you this was coming. What do you expect? And then not offering any solutions.
Yeah. It was great. It was a great time to have hope in left-wing activism. Bullet point three, should battles between riot cops and protesters take place? Several cities, I use examples of PDX and CTAC, maybe hotspots, but poor leadership and organizing may result in PR scandals among the protests. That's something we've already seen. Mass unchecked protests do not occur. Civil rights are under attack and the sitting right-wing administration becomes unpopular. If mass unchecked protests do not occur, civil rights are under attack and the sitting right-wing administration becomes unpopular. The DNC may be able to rally its base and some leftists mobilize at the polls for midterm elections. This kind of is a hopeful thing where if there's not some really shitty PR, right? If you don't have, John Doe comrade waving his fucking USSR banner or his hammer and sickle banner in the streets and, you know, shooting at cops or screaming revolution and like throwing things through buildings, you may be able to get the American voting left and the Democratic National Convention to kind of work together and rally and work to get legislators out during midterms. There's a lot of ifs there and like requirements, but I think if there is some really bad PR, it's going to kind of flush that away. Following that, if violent protests occur, the DNC may simply abandon and distance itself from the protesters, especially if protests roll over into gunfights with police, which going back to the Luigi Mangione thing, if we are now as a culture saying it's okay to shoot people who we all kind of agree should be shot, right? Where does that end? And if that means that the next protest is going to involve, let's say, left-wing protesters bringing guns and like shooting starts, I think you can say goodbye to any kind of good left-wing uprising. I don't think Americans are going to be happy if it's like, yep, all these people in Black Bloc showed up and then there was a protest and then like a bunch of people died because there was a gunfight. I think that will distance America from its left-wing Americans.
Well, because so much of politics is PR and the look of civility, whether or not it's actual harm being done to masses of people.
Yeah.
As long as it looks nice, as long as it can be spun well, that's important. But as soon as you start shooting people, well, that's rude.
Yeah. Your bullets are so rude as they enter my spine. Not very chill of you. Let me see here. So finally, we can end on right-wing specific things. One moment. Excuse me. So right-wing specific things. Overall, right-wing reactionary violence drops, with bad actors and groups still harassing marginalized people and committing some violence. But a repeat of January 6th does not happen due to the election going in their favor. So that's very simple. They got what they wanted during this presidential election. I think, as many people have seen now, if they've been paying attention, is like now there's calls for civility from the right. And most of that is in reference to like, don't hold your grandchildren from us. Like, don't go no contact with your families. You don't want to do that over politics, do you? Like, now they're trying to take the high road and...
Right. Don't cut us off because of politics. We only threw you out because you were gay.
Basically, yeah. And, like, you know, that's something that me and my wife discuss, right? Or, like, do we really want to go around our families where we have to, like, role-play being Republicans, basically, just to get to have our families for Thanksgiving or Christmas kind of deal. But in general, right, they got what they wanted in the election. They are taking the high road even now. If they continue
to... Well, that, and they had their big bad boogeyman sort of stolen out from under them. So they're sort of scrambling for the next thing to be afraid of.
Oh, they'll find it. I'm sure they'll find it. midterms post-2024 election may swing in favor of the DNC, creating a gridlock in the legislative branch that will be blamed for the above suffering. Example given, if the Dems would just let Trump work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Like, just going like, yeah, we could have gotten something done, but, like, all these Democrats in the House and in the Senate keep blocking everything. If Trump administration relaxes hardline stances and walks back many promises, the cult-like following may diminish. Some right-wing extremist groups may temper down due to the perception of winning. This is actually a lore thing that we have where there is a split. I know Newbies has talked about it a lot in the right wing, where there are essentially Christian nationalists or just like hardcore fascists or even in some cases hardcore libertarians who will split off from the GOP because when the GOP starts going back to being an establishment party, they will feel left out and betrayed, right? And if they're able to do populism the same way Trump did, they may like steamroll and get rid of the GOP, and suddenly we have a very, very, very far right party, and then we have the just right of center Democrat party.
Right. Well, for me, I kind of look at it as a cult because that's kind of how it's behaved. And one of the things consistent with a lot of cults is that once they start to sort of try to normalize, try to join society, the hardcore members have already sacrificed their family, maybe their place that they lived, maybe their jobs. They've put in a lot for these extreme beliefs.
Yeah.
So trying to go back to normal is a huge betrayal.
Yeah. Or it's like, I don't like all that for nothing, really. Like, I don't get to see my kids or I got divorced, etc. It's a pretty big deal. And like, I don't necessarily think they'll lash out their party. I think they'll just probably try to make their own that could really go in favor of like the left wing, where if they're able to say like, oh, look, now their vote's split. If we can like combine our vote, we might be able to do it. Right. We'll see. I do mention in bullet point 4 under right wing, an increase in no contact relations amongst families may be the culture war focus of the right. It kind of already is, with many right wing family members losing members to politics, which you just discussed. So, then finally 5, disillusionment amongst right wing begins to creep in, with almost no poor to working class supporters experiencing, any material improvement, and many having their material conditions worsen over time. This is something we're already seeing with how companies are reacting to the, you know, announcement of tariffs, right? Where there have been many layoffs happening already without the tariffs in place, where these corporations are saying, well, we got to like make room, have to pay for things tariff wise. So we're going to lay off some folks, or we're going to like lean out.
Yeah. Definitely no Christmas bonuses, because we have to pay for these things with your money.
Yeah, yes, we do. Oh, Jesus. Well, that's great. That's about all I had for predictions. I hope none of these things come true, or I hope most of them don't come true.
I desperately hope. I really have come to hate being right. I really hope that this time I get to bask in being wrong.
Me too. Also, I forgot something. There was a secret third page, or a fourth page, that had one more bullet point. it was under left wing, but it's unions may have a renaissance under the increased pressure of corporate deregulation. Socialist, anarchist, communist groups may emerge, but are not likely to have a large political presence. But they may be a strong unifying force in their local groups and areas if managed correctly. So, with what we said,
well,
right?
Well, at least we saved hope for last.
Yeah, yeah. you may have unions come back. I know people have been trying to make unions happen. We're in a very bad timeline for unions to be a thing, but they may still form if we get lucky, especially if it gets approached as a bipartisan thing and not a exclusively left-wing thing. In general, my experience is that, like, certain right wingers, especially in the trades, do really, really enjoy unions, and they want to keep it that way. Like they see the union as a way to protect the worker or the working Joe like themselves. They don't necessarily see it as a political arm. I grew up in a union family, right? I wish I was in a union now. But overall, they may be able to work something out under all the pressure. So that is a hopeful message to end on.
Yeah. Okay, so there's the one that I kind of hope is accurate.
Yeah.
Everything else can go out the window.
Yeah, just about everything else. Nothing else is good here. Dear God, do I hope everything here is, like, very wrong. Raz, you are such a good help. Thank you for helping me write this and also being on this very impromptu phone call for this. I would say plug your pluggables, but, like, we're both on the server. Oh, man.
Well, I am the Ohio Helper, and I intend to have some more episodes out soon.
Yes. Oh, I've gotten to see some of them, so they're on the way. This was a fun thing. I'm probably going to do another one of these, or another few of these, just because people wanted Q&A. We'll see how this one goes. It ran for an hour and 10 minutes. But anyway, I got to do some housekeeping with this, so goodbye, everybody. Good luck.
Goodbye, good luck, and good night.